Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be speaking with two authors today. The authors are Martha Curley, who is the Ruth M. Colquitt Endowed Chair in Pediatric Nursing at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and a professor at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing, and Sandy Quigley. Sandy is a pediatric nurse practitioner and clinical specialist in wound, ostomy, and continence care at Boston Children's Hospital. Welcome, Sandy and Martha. So nice to be speaking
with you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Martha and Sandy are the authors of an article in our November issue, and the article is a CE article. It offers 2 hours of continuing education, and the article is on how to predict pediatric pressure injury risk with the Braden QD scale. And as most nurses are probably familiar with the original Braden scale that was used to assess adult populations for pressure injury risk, but there's also been the Braden QD scale, which was developed by these two authors, which offered guidance on assessing and scoring pediatric patients' risk. So tell me why now we went from the Braden Q scale to the Braden QD scale.
So this is Martha. I'll start with this. First of all, thank you so much for the opportunity for this interview today. I don't think we really would have had a scale if it wasn't for Braden and Bergstrom and their conceptual framework that really started this whole thing off. And what we had done, and this was back in, 2000, Sandy and I started working with, let's create a pediatric-specific scale for pressure-related injuries. And so we specifically focused at that time on immobility-related pressure injuries. And so we took Barbara's and Nancy's conceptual framework, we took their adult tool, and we put a pediatric spin on that. We added a few dimensions, clarified a few points that were specific for pediatrics, but it was purely for immobility-related pressure ulcers. And again, in early 2000, that was what we were dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so we created that instrument. We published it, with the permission of the primary conceptual framework authors. And then it sat in the literature, and it was used extensively around the world. But with time, we started, people started getting really interested in device-related injuries, and device-related injuries, in fact, became more prominent than immobility-related injuries. And the Braden Q, the first pediatric instrument, was not designed for pressure-related injuries related to medical devices. And so it took us a few years because, instrument development is not for the faint of heart. It took a few years to put a really great team together. And I have to say, it was a volunteer team. 8 pediatric centers across the country came together and, under the leadership of nurse scientists and wound and ostomy nurses, and helped us collect the data that we needed to rebuild and rearticulate an instrument that could then cut across for both immobility-related pressure injuries and medical device-related pressure injuries. And really working with the psychometricians at Harvard Medical School, along with psychometricians that currently now exist, Natalie's down in Dallas, helped us to rearticulate this scale that now allows us to cut across the spectrum of pediatrics from neonates to adolescents for both these, pressure-related injuries and pediatrics. So we're really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And the scale itself is available to people who want to implement it in their institutions, correct?
Absolutely. It's open source for anybody who would like to use it for patient care. Mm-hmm. They need not ask permission. The only thing that we ask is that they do not modify it at all.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say that the scale itself is, the article does such a great job of showing exactly how to score it, and gives some various scenarios so people can actually practice scoring it and really get into the nitty gritty of it. So I thank you for doing that. So many times one might see an article on a scale or how it was developed, but by going that extra step of providing the scenarios, it really brings it home for the reader.
This is Sandy. The only other thing I wanted to add in about the what prompted us to pursue instrument development for the Braden QD was that our original Braden Q scale also didn't include cardiovascular patient populations. We had added tissue perfusion and oxygenation as a subscale that was not in Braden's original scale. And initially, when we first did the Braden Q, we were concerned that we may confound the study findings because many cardiac patients walk around with baseline O2 sats in the 80s, and that doesn't interfere with their ADLs. And so this scale not only includes cardiovascular patients, but we also included premature neonates as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's very comprehensive. Is there anybody you don't include?
There is a population that I think we would have to retest it, and that's the rehab population.
Oh, very good.
We built this in an acute care environment, a hospitalized environment, and did not include rehab patients. So I think the rehab nurses we'd welcome their efforts to get this thing validated in their population. But to comment on, what you had said earlier about this piece, we learned when we first published the Braden Q that you can't just publish an instrument and get it out there and expect everybody to be able to use it and pick it up in a reliable way. And so we purposely published the psychometrics behind the Braden QD in the Journal of Pediatrics and welcomed the opportunity in AJN to publish how best to use the instrument in clinicians' hands.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful you did, because as we're all aware that there aren't very many pediatric specialty hospitals, and many large and many small community hospitals, of which the majority of hospitals in the United States don't have dedicated pediatric units, and so for nurses who are taking care of patients on a med-surg unit that has perhaps a pediatric room, which I've been familiar with some of those places, this is going to be very helpful to them, because they will read AJN as a broad-based journal that covers a multitude of nursing information. So I'm so glad you sent it to us. It's perfect for our readership. So let me just ask you, what, in terms of the actual pressure injuries, what commonly do you see in terms of medical device-related pressure injuries? What are the more common ones that nurses should be thinking about?
This is Sandy. I'd be happy to start with that. I think some of our biggest culprits have been orthotics, non-invasive ventilation, both the mask and the straps that may secure non-invasive ventilation devices, oxygen saturation probes. Those are probably our top three culprits that we've been able to identify, although there are a host of other medical devices that may contribute to mucosal injuries, such as urethral Foley catheters, anything that is intubated via the nares, oxygen tubing that goes over the ears. So I think there are a lot of devices that can, in fact, develop pressure injuries.
Yeah, Sandy, this is Martha. So I agree. And again, I think every single nurse working in any part of the hospital should know their own data. And different patient populations, for example, in the critical care areas and surgical areas and medical areas, they each have their own set of devices that they commonly use that cause problems. Mm-hmm. So I think the Braden QD really allows people to use it across the different subspecialties within pediatric nursing to problem solve their devices and hopefully protect the patient against pressure-related injuries.
And one last question, which I was going to ask you, what do you want nurses to take away from this, but I think you've already answered that just now in terms of being aware of what your specific population, what the risks are within your population and what kind of, from the different devices you use. But in terms of a final comment, the one that comes to my mind is how this fits in with the electronic health record, because that's all I hear about from nurses is how difficult it is to work in the electronic health record. Have you had any issues in terms of getting it incorporated into the electronic health record?
This is Sandy. We've just very recently, as of last week, found out that NDNQI is going to incorporate it as one of the options into their pressure injury prevalence survey database, which is wonderful because that's a great start. And we are hearing, we're currently at Children's building this into our, we have Cerner. There is Epic. There are a number of other electronic health records out there. And I think it's clear that hopefully by the end of this year, early spring, it's going to be an option. I think, Martha, I can speak for the both of us. Our hope was that the Braden-Q scale would go away and people would only use the Braden-QD scale. That might be a bit trickier, especially, as Martha's saying, in some hospitals that have adult and PD. I can't speak to those, but our hope is that the Braden-Q scale is removed and replaced with the Braden-QD scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would
Martha,
concur.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I would definitely concur. And it's interesting, when last I spoke with Nancy Bergstrom, she was in full support of what we did with their original tool. Mm-hmm. You know, I asked if she was going to redo the Braden for adults based upon what we did in kids. So it would be a full circle, you know, from adults to kids and back to adults. And she would love somebody to pick up this work in adults. And, you know, she's now retired, but this is open territory for somebody wanting to move this forward in the adult world.
And Martha still finds her.
So for those of you listening, there's a call there. Here could be someone's great DNP project for someone to really work on this. It might be also a PhD project in terms of setting up a new scale and doing the validation and methodology requirements that we need to do for it. So there you go. Well, I hope readers will, after listening to this, that they will look at the article. It's either online or in print. And as Martha indicated, the scale itself is open source, so it is available. Just put it to good use, I guess. And thank you again so much, not only for the time and this interview, but for this very wonderful article that I'm sure will be very helpful.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.